Have you ever been to a Labour Exchange? You know, the last time I went there, I was paid my money by a Sikh. A Sikh sitting there with his turban and a bangle on his hand.
Hello, Seeker. Now don't feel alone here in the New Age, because there's a Seeker born every minute.
Now, I was 3 years with the Indian Army in India. I was 3 years in India in civilian life. I got on well with Sikhs, Hindus, the whole lot of them. But to walk into a British Labour Exchange and find you're being paid out your money by a Sikh, these are the people that in my small way, I help train and educate. To go to a Labour Exchange is not a very edifying experience at all. You know, you change into your old clothes to go to the Labour Exchange. But you've got to go.
Edgar Mittelholzer had come to England in the 1950s from British Guiana, and he had become a best-selling novelist. What Mittelholzer wrote about was violence, the violence and the racism that had been at the heart of the European empires. Mittelholzer believed that it still haunted the minds of those who had ruled the empires. One of his most famous stories, My Bones and My Flute, is about a group of colonialists who travel up a river into the jungle in Guiana. They are searching for the remains of a giant slave rebellion in the past, guided by an old manuscript. But anyone who reads the manuscript starts to hear the distant sound of a flute, and they change.
So you see, Mudhead, it's like the pooper said, with counter-subversive educational priorities the way they are, well, it really helps our side to re-enlist.
Is that what you're gonna do?
Oh, hell no. Right after I graduate, I'm gonna cut the soles off my shoes, sit in a tree, and learn to play the flute.
They become possessed by something that is reaching out from the jungle and working its way into their minds. It is the anger and the fear of the slave owner who put down the rebellion. And it will not let them escape. And Mittelholzer himself became angry with England. He saw it as a decaying, corrupted country.
I think we've reached the stage, you know, when we've become so soft, you know, so effete, better use it in other words, so effete, that we feel that, well, even criminals must be multicoloured.
And you feel so strongly that you're prepared to go as far as to say that
yes,
there are human beings who should be categorised as vermin.
Vermin, exactly. Quite. Anyone who is guilty of violence to the human person and to property should be considered as human vermin and eradicated. I know it's a violent thing to advocate, but I can't see any other cure to the crime problem.
Every evening, he sat with his wife in his house in Surrey, listening to the music of Wagner. Until one night, Mittelholzer walked up the hill by his house, poured paraffin over himself, and set himself alight. He burned to death. The anger and the fear had reached out to the colonized too. In 1966, engineers monitoring Chinese television from a mountain in Hong Kong began to realize that something unusual was happening in Beijing. China was sealed off from the rest of the world, but what they saw were hundreds of thousands of people streaming in from other cities and the countryside. By August the 11th, 1.5 million people had assembled in Tiananmen Square. Most of them were students or schoolchildren. Then, Mao Zedong appeared on the balcony above them. Mao Zedong and his wife Jiang Qing had unleashed a new force in China. These were what Mao called the little devils of youth.
We used to call him the fool. Oh, you're such a little devil.
She little knew her little boy would invent vacuum cleaners.
He told them that they were going to save the revolution. Their job was to go and seek out the demons and the monsters who were corrupting the revolution. No one should be safe, he said. They should all be torn down and smashed to pulp. The new revolutionaries gave themselves a name, the Red Guards. Jiang Qing now had great power. She saw herself as equal to Mao. But she was convinced that the threat to the revolution also came from inside people's minds. She knew that even though China had gone through a revolution, little had changed inside the heads of millions of the people, including those in power. They still believed in a rigid hierarchy. She had been scorned as a woman by the other revolutionaries around Mao. They had done anything they could to stop her. Jiang Qing had rewritten old Chinese operas into epic melodramas about the need to challenge and destroy the old order. All the old figures of authority were banished. Instead, the ordinary people, including women, took center stage.
That's China. I picked up this in Chinatown. Introduction all members of the opera troupe to U.S. Chinese National Fu Sing Opera Academy, Republic of China, it says. And then there's a picture of a beautiful girl underneath that says, Miss Catherine Wang, the leading star of the troupe. She representative of female character as a fair Tiao Chan, it says. Oh. Mark will have to excuse me my accent. And then inside it says, sketch of cultivating Chinese opera talents. It is important for one to learn Chinese opera in his boyhood as a prerequisite, for it has much to do with the skillful movement of both the leg and the loins. Hence, the students who are admitted to the academy are all under the age of 12 for meeting a requirement of learning a warrior's arts. Below are the basic requirements for students who intend to pass successfully the entrance examination. One, one who is healthy, vivacious, and normally developed. Two, one who is smart and good in appearance. Three, one who has a clear and loud voice as a mental endowment. Four, one who is bright with rapid response. Besides howling these mentally superior endowments, famous acts of Chinese opera should study dramatic certs, with a good, thank you, with a good tutor with assiduity and patience, let alone the cultivation of the art. Told you to let that alone. For many years and the proficiency in stage performances. Every day at the academy, get up at dawn. After wishing their faces, they, taking advantage of the fresh air, practice their voices or sing their favorite melodies at the foot of a hill or on the lakeside near the campus. Then they begin to read their lines and to practice their tunes and their tweedle lessons and train their larynxes. Later, they attend rehearsals one after another after becoming familiar with every act of the play, with every kind of music, civil or military. Unless their rehearsals turn out to be very satisfactory, they cannot perform a play on the stage. And they're a picture of a lot of people who have made it in and who have such wonderful characters as Fighter Clown, Joker.
Fighter Clown?
Paint Face. Fighter Paint Face. Brave Fighter. Personated Young Man. Agril Pox as a Boy. Famous Character. Master Clown. Personated Old Man. Cavaliers, fighters, and there are a lot of fighters and fighter paint faces, and there's Gong Master, Chief of Fiddle, Member of Music, and,
Costume Control.
Oh, Costumes Control, right there. Costumes Control, also Piddle Master. Lin Hu Min is the Piddle Master, and the big Piddle Master is Lu Fu Sheng here. There's also a Fighter Grill. Two fighter grills and a skipper. It's really, I wish I had gone and seen them, actually, but I didn't.
They were performed to millions of young Red Guards. And in talks before the performances, Jiang Qing told the audience how what they were about to watch were heroes awakening and realizing that they could take control.
Thank you.
today, I still vividly remember the first time I saw the Revolutionary play. I was about 14, 13 years old. And there was a rush of emotion, of identity. I was so excited. Suddenly, I saw those plays after Jiang Qing's talk that night. And suddenly, what she was saying made sense to me, that there was a fundamental difference between the revolutionary art and the traditional art. There was something in the play about the working class emotions and working class world outlook, and just the flamboyance of the working class figure on stage moved me. That is my society, that's my life. That's the people I see, that's the people I live with, and they're on stage.
Mao and Jiang Qing suspended all schools and universities, which released 120 million students, who were then sent out to find and destroy the demons that were hiding among those in authority.
Hello, friends. I'm Gary Firestein for Mr. Yamamoto of Hollywood.
And for a working man like myself, the price is right.
Yes, our triple year-end sale is going on now.
My name isn't Wilson.
You see, I don't think you can run a business like ours without satisfaction to the customer.
It flops on its side like a criminal.
People say to me, Eddie, the sincerest form of flattery, I guess you call it, is imitation.
Too bad, Steve, but that's just our little joke.
The dog isn't for sale. Not since Ralph was arrested have I been able to offer you a demon at this sensational price. The president said
these demons, and golly, I just can't afford not to.
And you don't have to dress up at Mr. Edge for friend. There's no suit over $30.
Now that a major clothing manufacturer has closed its doors on
a substance known as adenidine phosphate, crucial to hair growth.
And no display in their warehouse behind the store.
And I wouldn't and let my wife drive him after what
the president said about Ralph. I'm sitting down on the dog now because I wouldn't want to spoil your movie. Some call it a commercial, but I like to call it thanks for the interruption and whatever.
Ever kiss, spill, dog does to the hood, he's not for sale.
That's just our little joke.
I'd like to show you some pictures of men and women like yourself in this area. Men and women like yourself in various poses, sitting
on the cars late at night when even Fletcher is gone. Yes, Fletcher must sleep sometimes.
I couldn't stand on my head to give you a better deal, so I think I'll just sit down here to rest my back. There are so many of these
demons here now for me to be entirely.
And the puppy, well, I like to call him your friend and mine, my dog Storm, and he's
not for sale. Everything else certainly is.
The president arrested Ralph.
There are more demons on the left than a week ago. They're piling up. We can't
get rid of them, and there's no one to talk to.
Not even this little fellow here. I like to call him your friend and my friend, my dog Storm, their second.
He's not
for sale.
Like people in this area, men and women.
Like your
So I'll just sit down here and wait for them to come and get me. And this fella here, who I like to call Stuffed. He's not
for sale.
Millions are just like him.
Like men and women.
Like yourself.
Well, I'm making a fortune. Today.
Selling stuffed dogs. As the streets
become full of demon.
I'd like to call him
Storm.
But they won't let me.
Our teachers were often paraded through the streets, and we made them chant, I'm a demon, I'm a devil. I deserve to die. That's the song, and they had to sing it. And they all sang. Whoever didn't got beaten up, some very badly. We used our belts to whip them. Some people used sticks. And the mother of this teacher was pushed over a bridge and fell to her death.
Horst Mahler had been born in what was now East Germany. His father had been a fervent Nazi and an anti-Semite. In 1945, his family fled across Germany from the approaching Red Army. Then his father committed suicide. Mahler grew up in West Berlin, and everything was buried.
Bitte alles aussteigen, der Zug wird abgestellt.
In 1964, Mahler joined a new group called the APO, the Extra-Parliamentary Opposition. They knew that many of those in charge of the country had been senior members of the Nazi Party. But no one talked about it. and they wanted to expose the Nazi crimes of those in charge and challenge their control of the country.
There was the memory knocking at the door, and we asked our parents and our grandfathers, what did you do in all this time? Did you resist, or had you been a little Nazi, or...
It's a tip, I'm a cat be gentle. You let the rain pour, what does it matter? I'm bigger and bolder, Charlie, I'm blacker, yeah, and I'm a whole lot fatter. I'm Nazi Gorin, how come I?
Yes, folks, it's very hard to be a gorilla. But I gotta tell you something, everybody's got a gorilla inside him. And sooner or later, Charlie, you're gonna have to let him go. And when you do, he's gonna walk. And when that gorilla walk, he's gonna walk a little something like this. Ooh, 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 ooh. Nobody's a warning, a poor old me. That's all, folks.
Had you been an opportunist, and this discussion was blocked by the elder generation, and so it became hostile.
The student movement was astonished by the violent reaction of the German government. And Horst Mahler and other radicals began to think that the problem was far deeper than just individual Nazis. But maybe the whole Nazi system had also survived and was hiding behind the facade of modern capitalism.
Sit down, Lillian. This may be rough. Honey?
Yes?
The President of the United States is named Schicklgruber.
I'm going out there, Maury! Help me into this parachute.
No, no, honey. You can't go out there. It's too late.
Sit
me up.
It's never too late, Maury. I'm going out there because I'm bringing the war back home.
They argued that the very system of industrial rationality and bureaucratic control that had made the Nazi state so efficient had simply mutated. It had been taken up by the victors, above all by America, and was now being used to run the new global capitalism and the multinational corporations that were ruthlessly exploiting what was called the Third World. Anything that stood in the system's way was bombed or burnt, with weapons created by the same rational industrial techniques that made the mass consumer goods. But the people in the West couldn't see this, because they had been led into a dream world that used mass consumerism and sexualized imagery to entrance and distract everyone.
Hey, hey, kid, come over here. Hey, how you doing? President gonna give you a new pair of shoes, huh?
He's working on it. Hey, Barney, listen.
You know, a fine-looking kind of man, I thought. Yeah. Real regular features, real regular clothes.
Yeah, very neat, incredible, you know? Illusion. Very
hey, what are you gonna do
what
next,
What are you gonna
kid?
Do next? Isn't that funny? I just came over to ask you.
Gosh, you got some free time, huh?
Yeah,
where's
I sure
that,
have nothing but free time.
What's that schedule here? Future schedule.
Will our guest, Mr. Altman, please drop by the hospitality tower immediately?
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Now. This is the one I've been waiting for. Look at this Malmberg in Plano, a below-the-belt, bottoms-out review.
Yeah.
It's not till tonight, huh?
Oh, well, let's just walk around the Funway for a little while.
Kid, you're hip like a zip. Let's take a trip.
Great,
huh?
Let's just walk across the tracks.
We are guests. Mr. Ocklem, please report to the hospitality shelter in his area.
This fella Ocklem's pretty popular.
Yeah.
We
could
take one of these big red cars that'll come along here. Hey, here's a cute story. Why does a bozo cross the road?
What are you talking about?
Because there's a bozo on the other side.
Oh, I see. That's very logical.
Okay. Why does a short hair cross the road?
Because
someone told him to.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Now, why does a long hair cross the road?
Because someone told him not to.
You knew that one.
Look,
here comes a car.
Family to ride with Salamander Mark Time and my anxious android Chucko, the rocket robot, through the black hole of space.
Mark, they are performing experiments on animals in space. Mark, they are performing horrible. Thank you.
Yes, this is going to be another exciting mission, Chucko. We'll be going to the haunted space station for further instructions.
You'll need a crowbar, a crew, Mark.
Right. I need some brave boys and girls who aren't afraid to live outside the law of gravity. Families who like to sleep in tubes and push buttons. Adventurers like you.
I'll slip inside for Mark Time's Outlaw Ghost Ship and further information now, boring. Boarding, thank you.
Let's go. Thrill with your
friends and family.
No, kid. That's for beaners, you know, boogies, people who like to be
alone.
Run
after
I got
it.
The clone, kid.
Und zauberhaft schön. Die Randlosen. Strumpfhosen.
In reality, it was an iron cage designed to look like an open and free welfare state. A false state of peace that was built really on horror and war.
We were convinced that our situation here, the welfare state, is only possible as a result by the exploitation of the third world.
Have we started the Third World War?
No, not at all. It's just another war against the Third World. Except now they're fighting back.
That's not fair.
So you think it's justified?
Well, of course. We believe in the separation of church and state.
Yes.
We're just separating their church from their state with ordinance.
And we said we must disturb this peace, this false peace in our country, in order to show the responsibility of us, that it is our task to implement sabotage in the centers of imperialism.
Alice Faye Williams had been born in North Carolina. She had run away from home when she was young because she was frightened of her violent father. And she came to New York when she was 15. She managed to get a place to study at the School of Performing Arts. Then one day, on 125th Street in Harlem, she listened to a speech by Bobby Seale, one of the leaders of the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers believed that the only way to stop racism in America was for black people to get power. Simply changing the law was not enough. The anger and the fear remained hidden away in millions of people's minds. The solution was black power. And the first person to articulate this was Stokely Carmichael on a civil rights march in Mississippi. On one day when the more moderate Martin Luther King was absent.
So I just made a speech building up to it, building up, showing that it wasn't a question of morality, it wasn't a question of being good or bad, it was simply a question of power. And that we black people had no power, and we had to have some power. The only type of power we could have is black power.
This show is about power.
Hello,
Clive.
Ah, come on in, Chester.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're just in time to help me check out this new model government.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just brought it down, and they say it explains everything.
Well, you know, it sure is big.
Hey, well, look over there in the left end. That's where you work, there in the Bureau of Western Mythology.
By golly, we're at proud service of the Lost Electricity Reclamation Agency, Senator.
Yeah, well, the LES is under the left... I think I'll just plug it in.
Oh, right? Well, listen, I'll just use this little plug right down here.
That plug, Chucko. See?
Oh, that's terrible.
You've got to plug in the
goodness.
Female.
Yeah.
Listen to it. Teaches you, huh?
Yeah.
Half of what comes in here?
Must go out there.
Righto. Let's see what it does with this fine miniature boxcar of industrial coke.
Okay. Look at that.
That's
amazing.
Let's see. It's pumped from the Veterans Tap Dance Administration.
It goes up here to the Assistant Secretary of Leftovers.
Let's flop down to the Secretary of Covers.
Right. Now watch it go now around the Department of Spies.
Into the office of the Secretary of Failure himself, wouldn't you know? That's shoes for industry, Charlie.
And it's food for thought, you know, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, but we're talking about power, Chucko.
Well, I know you are. You wouldn't be here.
Look at that.
Yes, sirree.
It heard the word power, and it responded just like we do.
You know, I try to think, what is the story of the canon? You know, what is this single story? And it has to do with power, don't you think?
God, you said power, and he responded.
Just
like they all do.
Yes.
That's why I connect the radio shows, the Let's Eat radio shows. Which
I would say power is right.
Also are dealing with the effect of power. And, of course, then we make a jump in the second group of the second chapter of Fire Sign would then be from about 73 onward to the end of the decade, 72, 73. And if you listen to The Giant Rat of Sumatra, of course, the electrician appears as an actual character or maybe just as a costume.
Or some electrician.
And that has to do with the pursuit of power. And as a matter of fact, Hemlock Stones pursues the electrician all the way back to the United States, to the acme of power, Mr. Acme.
Black power.
We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. That's right. That's what we want. Black power.
They responded immediately in a healthy manner. Dr. King came back the next day, but it was too late then. Black power had been established.
Alice Williams decided to join the Black Panthers. She became a member of a new chapter that had been set up in Harlem. And she changed her name to Afeni Shakur. She later explained what the Panthers meant for her. For the first time, she said, there was now something I could do with all this aggression and all this fear inside me. The Panther Party at that time took my rage and channeled it against them instead of against us. They educated my mind and gave me direction. And with that direction came hope.
Oh, there were. I saw in the precinct a number of men and women being brought in. I had contact with some of the women when we were in the precinct, and they were also beaten. Some had black eyes, some had swollen lips, and so forth. And from what most of them said, they were just walking along the street, and most of them were pushed or hit with a club. And when they protested the fact that they were being hit for nothing, then they were beaten and arrested.
We teach children that the policeman is a friend. In Harlem, however, although I know that there are policemen who are friendly and kind and decent and fair, this type of policeman is a rare thing.
Something here on the coloring book?
It's the Deputy Dan coloring book. We're going to read it to the kids.
I'm going to help translate this. This is a publication for school children, and it's in Spanish.
Sí. Oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Mi nombre es Deputy Dan, del Departamento del Sheriff, del Condado de Los Angeles.
My name is Deputy Dan, and I work for the sheriff of that's a very strange word.
Condado
there.
De Los Angeles.
I work for the sheriff of the jail of Los Angeles.
Deputy Dan nos dice, nunca suban a carros de personas extrañas.
Don't get into any strange cars with Deputy Dan. What that says there.
Les enseña a cuidarse por las calles.
Deputy Dan will walk small Chinese children across the street.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Is that nice?
Deténgase, mire, escuche, antes de cruzar la calle.
Run like hell when you cross the street, because Deputy Dan is after you. That's for
that's
the ghettos.
That's a good one.
No siga la pelota hacia la calle.
Now, this is a very interesting, this is linguistic here. The translation of that might be, let's rock and roll or let the dance go on. Word for word, it's don't follow the balls when they make the street. It's very hard to translate literally from Spanish.
Don't follow the balls when they make the street.
Something like that. It's,
obedeza las leyes para su seguridad.
You better obey all the laws, or they'll put you in security prison.
Right on, right on.
Deputy Dan nos ayuda cuando estamos golpeados.
Deputy Dan will knock us down when we're injured by a car. I think that's what that is.
Deputy Dan, terrible.
Si nos perdemos.
This is a shot of naked children, or almost naked children, being picked up by a police helicopter way up in the mountains where they've gone. That's Deputy Dan will find us no matter how far away we go. It's a translation of that.
Deputy Dan is su amigo.
Deputy Dan. Scary. Deputy Dan.
Has no friends.
Has no friends.
I know enough Spanish. I know
Spanish.
Him personally, sir.
Right. That's very good.
Finally, no le abran las puertas a personas extrañas.
Never open the door for Deputy Dan. He's on the other side.
He doesn't have to knock anymore, you know, Deputy
That's a
Dan.
Wonderful publication.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm Peter Pitcher, Sheriff of Los
Angeles. Eh? Yeah, there's got to mean that. I do shows in aid of people like you.
Michael De Freitas had been a gangster. He had worked as an enforcer for the notorious slum landlord, Peter Rackman. But now, he wanted to be a revolutionary. Then one day, he met the American black leader, Malcolm X, who was on a tour of England. They began to travel around the country together. When they arrived in Birmingham, the hotel receptionist thought that Michael De Freitas was Malcolm X's brother, and he called him Michael X. De Freitas decided that in the future, this was going to be his revolutionary name. And he was going to lead a revolution in Britain.
Malcolm X, John Lennon? Come on in and dig your mother.
Mom, I can't now. I gotta go do my homework. I gotta meet my connection.
You can't fool me. You're in one of those underground study cells, aren't you?
No!
It'll kill your father. I didn't breastfeed you for 14 years for this. Come here, baby.
But, Mom, I'm not hungry.
Straight neck.
Michael X soon became famous.
I would hate to be described as a politician because they're all such liars and thieves. If I'm going to deal in the realms of that type of public relations, I'd rather think of myself in terms of being a statesman, which is an art that this country has long since forgotten, like we have no statesmen today. I'm probably the only one in the country. Unfortunately, we find that the people of pale pigmentation are people who are so barbaric, like, for instance, right now, this country, which is run by those type of people, have got more weapons of destruction to destroy the entire world. And they're so savage, they're building even more. You see, the British are such a strange people.
Many of Michael X's supporters were the young white radicals who had moved into Notting Hill, into the very houses that he and the gangster, Peter Rackman, had run 10 years before. Because Michael X was an outsider, the white radicals believed that he could see the system for what it really was. Like all revolutionaries before them, they had tried to appeal to the white working class, and get them to rise up against the system. But no one seemed to be interested.
And what we've been talking about here today is the problem of racialism and the problem of the attack by the government and by the employers on working people's conditions.
The radicals decided that this was because the ordinary people had been brainwashed by the media and by consumerism, and turned into what their theory called one-dimensional creatures. Which meant that they were the wrong kind of person to start a revolution with.
Their whole mind was, you know, like a cabbage. They're suppressed, they can't do exactly what they want, they haven't got any freedom, they haven't got any freedom to do exactly what they want under the system. I mean, we certainly do.
What is freedom?
Well, being able to express yourself in whichever way you feel is right.
I think it's not only the system that's wrong.
But one evening, after making a speech in Reading, Michael X was arrested. And he was sent to prison for 10 months for inciting racial hatred. The MP, Enoch Powell, had also made a speech at the same time, violently attacking immigrants. He wasn't charged, and he carried on being an MP. Which Michael X said rather proved his point about the racism underlying the country.
Certainly no one's going to tell you not to think what you honestly believe, but I think maybe you should re-examine a little bit the things that you believe, huh? Think about it.
In the Cold War, the very idea of the individual and how the individual self worked had become political, because it was what defined the United States against the collective ideology of Russia.
I think maybe you should re-examine a little bit the things that you believe.
What concerned many psychologists, though, was that the Second World War had revealed how frightening and deceptive human beings could be, particularly in Nazi Germany, where ordinary people, who had apparently been good citizens, had indulged in the most terrible horrors. And psychologists started to examine what really went on inside people's minds, trying to find ways of bypassing the conscious explanations that humans gave, because those explanations could be deceptive. They wanted to find a way of getting directly at what was going on inside the brain. One of the key figures was a psychologist called Dr. Eckhard Hesse. He had begun his career recording and analysing animal behaviour on film. Now he did the same with human beings. Dr. Hesse had discovered that the pupils in the eyes of individuals reacted dramatically when they were shown different kinds of images. The changes had nothing to do with the changes in the light. They came from within the human being. And Dr. Hesse believed that they gave you a way of seeing the hidden emotional responses that were going on inside the mind. Feelings that the individual might not want to tell you about, or even be aware of. You were looking directly at the brain.
Really, since the eye is very, very intimately a part of the brain, embryologically and anatomically, it is almost the same as though there were a piece of the brain sticking out, behaving, and all the world is there to be able to see it. And if that's so, what ought to be reflected or mirrored in the eye is really the behavior of the brain.
Oh, mud, eyeball this humongous code.
Wow, totemoji canto.
Still coming.
Hey, it's dodeca gigbin.
This is totally evil. We're going to have to blow out the pipe for this baby. Look at the chart. Resked the child labor booties.
Yeah.
We could reroute these toxic packy pullovers.
Bum state orgs. This sounds like work.
What doesn't?
New plan. Let's go hang out at justjugs.com. Webmistress Wong's got a homepage she can hardly compress her yahoos
Get
on.
Real mudhead. Oh, we're running behind. I got to see Babylizer or two. Let's just send the package.
Well, what the hell is it?
Give me a skull. Says the load's classified.
Yeah?
Eyes only.
Holy moly. It's a box of eyes.
Driver Orgy, driver head, what's this load you're trying to pipe?
It's eyes.
Owl eyes? Fish eyes?
Well, actually, Soup, it's human eyes.
Human eyes?
My eyes are seeing you. My eyes are seeing you. My eyes are seeing you. Free from the skies. Get to know the city on the television skies. Television skies. Television skies.
Man, we got a, in our part of town, the currency is based on color TVs, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one color TV is good for a cup of coffee, you know? That's the way we figure it. 10 color TVs, you know, that'll buy you a six-pack of beer, man.
That makes sense. Right.
I remember the women in your village, the strong ones, the ones with the big necks, carrying the 7 or 8 television sets in a necklace around
them. Yeah, they used to carry them on their heads,
what,
man.
What villages? What is this
then
place?
They watched all those women's liberation programs, that's and right. Now their heads are too big.
You talking
too
about
big
the
for
ghetto?
The color TVs, right? Too big for the Trinitans, man. Remember the Holy Trinitan? Man, Mother and Louis,
wait a minute.
His lawyer?
Wait a minute. You talking about television or religion,
RCA,
fellas?
RCA, man. They crucified that one television set. You ever see that, man?
You're kidding, really?
They crucified a man that put nails through the base of it, you know, and through the control dials, man.
The man took the spear, man, and in through the picture.
Right through the picture.
That's terrible.
All the red, leak.
That could explode.
Man. The radiation killed people for miles around.
No, it must have been terrible, man. People shaking on the hills, right?
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.